Mm-hmm.
My name is Chris Federer. I'm going to be doing the interview.
Okay.
Would you like to state your name, please?
My name is Gloria Dell.
All right, thank you. All right, you were born in Roanoke, correct?
I was, yes.
Would you live here your entire life?
My entire life, yes.
Is there anything interesting happened while you lived here, like, that you want to think of?
In Roanoke?
Yeah, I mean, like, any special people come by, or, like, famous people, anything like that?
Any people, you know what, I guess quite a lot, you know, happened, you know, like, after all, it's, I've lived a long time, so, and it's been interesting to see the changes that have transpired in that time. I've done a lot of interesting things, and I met a lot of interesting people. I don't know who stands out as the most important person that I met, but I do know too. I did meet at one time Julie Nixon Eisenhower, who at that time was President Nixon was still in office. So, yeah.
You said you met her. Did you actually like talk to her, or did you just like see her?
I beg your pardon?
When you said you met this person, did you actually like meet them and talk to them, or did they just come into town?
Actually, it was they came to visit the Head Start program I was working at the time. And it was interesting because there were TV cameras and there were, you know, lots of people from like NBC, I believe it was at the time, and the types of clearances that you had to get to even speak to this person, yeah. So, you know, that was really interesting.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Kind of backtracking a little bit. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
I have, I have quite a large family. There are 11 of us, and I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest?
Yes.
That must have been interesting. Uh-huh. That must have been interesting?
Yeah, that's very, well, you know, like I've always said that my mom had 3 sets of children, and you know, like that was the first 4 of us, the oldest 4. Then there was a middle set, and then there was a latter set. And the latter sets are the same age as my children, so, yeah.
That's quite a big difference.
Yeah, very big difference, yeah.
So you said you were the oldest. Does that mean you had lots of, like, responsibilities? Like, did you take care of your siblings?
I did take care of my siblings, but I you know, like, I got up for them and fed them. I also washed and ironed their clothing and, you know, things like that. So, yeah. We walked everywhere we went at, you know, back in that time. So we had grocery responsibilities that we walked to the grocery store and did that, yeah.
Since you had a big family, I'm assuming your house, was it relatively large or was it like a lot of people in small
places? We started out down here with the 4 of us at, no, I was born in Northeast on Gilman.
Okay.
I lived on Gilman Avenue when I was born. Then we moved with my grandmother up here on Staunton. We had 4 children. There were 4 of us, 4 siblings, when we moved down here on Hanover, which is 715 Hanover, which is like just right down the street from the school. And it was a GI house at the time. It was probably one of the houses that they built, like they use stimulus money now,
yep,
to do and that type of thing. Yeah.
All right. You said you, like, aside from taking care of your brothers and sisters and doing groceries or anything, what did you do, like, in your free time? Like, go outside to play?
We did. We spent a lot of time outdoors, as a matter of fact, and I marveled at the fact that we did spend a lot of time outdoors and that the children nowadays don't spend as much time as we did outdoors. So we, you know, like sometimes one of the things that we used to do was when it was almost time to go to bed, a group of us would like stand up under a telegraph pole and just talk. You know, my cousin lived next door to me, so I spent time walking back and forth, you know, like I'd walk her home and then she'd walk me back home and walk her home. And, you know, like we did that all night. So, you know, we did stuff like that. We we played a lot of outdoor games. I am a game person even now. I love games. That's good. Know, like we played things like, you know, beers out tonight and, you know, that type of thing. We made mud pies. You know, like we did, that's just the kind of stuff we did, yeah. We were able to mingle in the neighborhood. My mom did not want me to learn how to ride a bike. So I went up on Staunton Avenue and I found somebody who taught me how to ride a bike. So, yeah.
Why didn't she want you to ride a bike? Was she afraid you'd hurt yourself?
I think it was a safety thing because there were lots of things I would have done and accomplished during that time. You know, like I've always wanted to swim and I've always wanted to, you know, to skate. And I don't skate, but I did learn how to ride a bike. And I've tried to learn how to swim twice, so, you know.
No such luck.
I can float.
That's good. You also said your cousin lived next near you guys. Did any other family members, extended family, live close to you?
My grandmother lived on Staunton. Let me see. And my cousin lived next door. So, yeah, the other, you know, like, we had extended family pretty close proximity. And you know, like that, at that time, there was no safety issues as far as getting away from your neighborhood at that time. You could walk everywhere you went, and there were not, you know, like, as I got to be a young adult, I noticed that the safety issues were more problematic at that time, but when I was coming up, it was not a problem. You know, as a matter of fact, the most interesting thing, you know, like when we lived on Hanover, we actually used to see gypsy caravans going down Orange Avenue, down 460. And I said, oh, that's awesome. And at that time, they would talk about gypsies taking away your children, you know. So that was just something that was really, really cool.
That sounds cool. You said that there was, as you got older, there was more, like, dangers or security things, like what kind?
Well,
just like violence.
You know, no, not really violence. You know, like people were in cars. You know, like I remember walking from, and at the time I was married, and my husband's aunt lived over here on Hanover, 1000 block, and I would walk her to her house. You know, anytime. But one night it had gotten dusk. And I went down, and there was some guy, and he was sort of around, and there was a big stone house on the corner, and there were trees around the house, and I knew that he was, you know, what he was trying to pick, you know, or snatch me or whatever, but I hid behind that tree. I noticed that he came back. So there were several trees. Anyway, when he turned the corner, I flew home. So yeah, you know, like you just notice those things that they became more and more prevalent as time goes on.
Did it get better later on, or did it just kind of stay? It never really got back to.
It was pretty much steady, you know, like it, you know, like there were not a lot of safety issues when I was coming up, at least not, you know. I guess my parents were probably more fearful of us getting injured because we'd fall or something then. From somebody else, you know, hurting us, yeah. So.
How about school? You went here?
I went here.
Back at high school?
I went here at the high school. I went to Booker T. Washington. And I went to all of the elementary schools in Roanoke except Gregory and the one on Gainsborough, I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, I went to Harrison and Gilmer, and actually when I went to Gilmer, I rode the bus down to Gilmer. You know, I rode a city bus down to Gilmer. So, yeah. So, and I went to Harrison and went to Loudon School. So, yeah, most of all of them.
Did you go to school after high school, or did you just go to high school?
I've been studying all my life.
That's good.
I went to Virginia Western, and when I transferred to Radford, I transferred 198 hours to Radford. So, you know, because I don't think I really knew what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be at that time. I really probably still don't, you know, but that's okay. I'm still a product in becoming. So yeah, but I graduated from with a BSW from Radford University.
In what major? What field?
In social work.
Social work.
Bachelor of social work. Yeah.
So then, I'm guessing you went into a career in social working?
I worked at a community hospital as a social worker, and I also have worked in long-term care as a social worker. I've done various and many sundry things. I've directed daycare centers. I have been a parent involvement coordinator, been a social services coordinator. I worked on teams with people in Region 3 to peer review programs. I've worked on to peer review programs. I've also been a task expert where you go into programs that's faltering and you help them. And my specialty was parent involvement and social services. So yeah.
I'm assuming since you were you wanted to do social work, or you got a degree in social work, you actually wanted to help out other people. You're very
absolutely helpful people. Absolutely. You know, I think the more that we can be connected with people, the more we can offer. You know, and that can be time, that can be money, that can be your services. And that's what we're called on to be as Christian people in this, you know, in this, even in this age. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that came from your parents. They were very helpful as well.
They were. Both my parents finished high school. I wouldn't say they were upwardly mobile. My aunts and my uncles were probably more in that frame than my parents were. So my aunts and my uncles would probably push us more than my parents did.
Did anyone else, did any of your brothers or sisters go to college as well, or?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. You know, we've all had careers. One of my sisters has been a truck driver. She's a bus driver now. One of my sisters he worked at the Pentagon, and she did those type of things. I have a brother that's a bus driver. I have two brothers, as a matter of fact, of bus drivers. I'm trying to think. One of my brothers works at sheet metal. Sister that works at a bank. So, and I have one brother that's autistic and one brother that had a disability, and they were one is at Lynchburg Training and one is in a home for boys. So,
was that difficult on your family having brothers that were autistic and had disabilities?
Hmm?
Was that hard for your family because they were autistic?
At the time, we were not as advanced in medicine and everything as we are now, so I guess my parents did not really know what was going on. The other thing is that my dad worked on a railroad, so he was gone quite a bit. When my brothers were diagnosed with, you know, we didn't know what was going on, and I was quite young at the time, so just know that it was difficult in that they had needs that at the time we weren't sure how to fill.
Was the medical people around here, were they helpful with that?
You know what, I think there were lots of limitations there. I think there were lots of limitations as far as who to go to, what questions to ask, who would know the answers, and, you know, as far as that, in that respect. Yeah, because, I think the area of autism is still, you know, one that's not quite well defined, and the help, people are still not getting the help that they need.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. You said your dad worked on railroads. Did he like build them or did he work on trains?
Actually, my dad was a cook, on the railroad. So he worked dining car for a long time. And then he moved to the administrative office and he cooked for the president of the railroad. So, yeah.
Which railroad company?
Norfolk and Western at the time.
Did you have any other members of your family that were in the military or anything like that? Because you said you had a brother that worked at the Pentagon?
No, my sister.
Or sister,
my sister. No, but now I have a brother that's in the service right now, so, and he's in the Army. None of my other siblings were, I have to take that back, because I have a sister that was in the Air Force, so,
Is your brother an officer, or is he enlisted, you know?
I don't know what his rank is, and it's like he was in reserves, and he was a trainer in the reserves, so I'm pretty sure he has some kind of office. So, you know, like he's a bus driver with a couple of billion miles types of things going on, too. So, yeah.
Kind of going back to just regular family life stuff, in Roanoke, was there any specific stores or businesses your family went to a lot, like a family grocery store or like a neighborhood grocery store?
There were. We used to shop at Johnson's grocery store. There were Kroger stores here then too, but we were able, you know, like my dad was able to go and buy the groceries and charge them and, you know, like pay for them over time and that type of thing. With no hardly any interest or anything like that. You just pay for the groceries, you know. So, yeah, it was Johnson's store, and it was on 11th Street, if I recall. Yeah.
Again, you mentioned earlier that when you were younger, there was a very, you know, open community. Like, you would go out and play with the kids all the time. So was the community... was that always like that, or did as things got, like you said, there's more things that were kind of bad, like did people become less social?
You know what, people were very social. I thought, you know, like everybody knew everybody else in the community. If one of your children did something here and this neighbor saw it, your parents knew it before you got home.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we, you know, like we had picnics and yard parties. We went church activities. I remember the Catholic priest in our neighborhood. I'm not Catholic. I'm Baptist, but the Catholic priest, Father McDonald, he was community oriented. I remember the church buying me a white dress for something that I needed. Now I don't remember what it was, but I do remember him coming across with this white dress, so yeah, something like that.
So people were helpful.
Very helpful, very helpful.
You said that, like, for special events and stuff, or there were community events, were there any things like baseball games, local baseball games, or concerts that happened that you remember?
Not a whole lot of that.
Not really.
You know, like maybe later on, high school, that type of thing. Mostly in high school, we would have soccer, basketball, football were big. Yeah.
Wasn't there a local team, like a AAA team for baseball here?
There was I think it was a Negro League here, and I think that's what it was called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did your family ever go to those games? Or?
Yes, we did. You know, like in later years, you know, like I know some of the people who played on that team. A lot of them are dead now, but yeah, I did know some of them.
So did you actually follow baseball or not really? Did you actually like pay attention to it a lot or not? Was it kind of like just something you kind of
I knew what was going on, yeah. Yes. You know, like, I would cheer for whom I thought I was, you know, cheering for, and yeah, I could do that.
Because I was going to ask, if since you mentioned the Negro Leagues, how did your family or your community feel when, like, the color barrier was broken in professional baseball? If you remember that.
I think there were a lot of, you know, like, for more of the guys that I actually had knew and talked to, I think there were lots of regrets that they were not able to go advance further than they were, you know, like. But they were very proud of what they have done. Yeah.
That's good. You mentioned people like the Catholic priest.
Uh-huh.
Were there any other like strong figures in your community?
The church was the place, you know, in the community that set the moral standards, that set the values, and you know, like in, you know, and most, a lot of activities surrounding the church, you know, like the Catholic Church used to have bazaars. I actually was a Girl Scout at St. Andrew's Catholic Church. My church was First Baptist Church in Northeast, and I remember, you know, like the leadership of the older women, you know, just having a huge impact on who we were as Christians, you know, that type of thing.
And you said you were a Girl Scout. Like, did you stay with them for a long time, or was it just for a few years? Like,
I did for a few years. Yes, Mrs. Ina Shaw was our troop leader at that time. Yes.
Was that very that did have a good impact on your life? Like,
it did. You know what? Scouting, if you get into scouting and stay into scouting, it would have a huge impact on anybody's life, because it builds industry. It builds morals. It, you know, like, and you learn how to work together as a group. It can have a huge impact. Yeah.
That's how I felt when I was in the Boy Scouts. I was just, I didn't never really ask anybody about the Girl Scouts before.
Absolutely.
So. You mentioned the older women in your church were, I assume, role models. Was there anybody else in your life that were role models?
My aunts, my uncles, my teachers. You know, like even today, you know, like when I see one of my teachers, you know, especially the ones that I was really, really close to. And see, like, the other thing is that we, you know, like, our teachers lived among us. You know, we knew them, like Ms. Ruth Lash Anderson lived right next door to us. Coach Charles Price lived next door to us on the other part of Hanover. So, yes, we had, you know, our neighbors, you know, like, I had one particular neighbor who used to go to Goodwill store every Wednesday, and, you know, like, and at that time, girls still wore petticoats, and he would slew on the slips, and, you know, like, and we'd starch them up. But anyway, she would go, and she would find something that she felt like we could use, and she would bring them over in a little brown bag and say, hey, come over here and get this, and, you know, that type of thing, yeah.
That seems very nice. And I know you've mentioned a couple times how it's Roanoke has changed, and I figure since you've lived here your entire life, is there anything that you think has really changed since you?
I do. You know what? I don't know where, you know, like, our sense of history is not here. You know, like, instead of us preserving history in Roanoke, I really don't think that we do a good job of it here. We rather tear it down than build it up, or make it what it needs to be, and I think that's a detriment to this community. So, you know, like, it's hard for young people not to have a standard to or a foundation to look at. We've destroyed more than we, you know, like, and some of the things that we built. Well, you know, that's just my opinion, you know.
Yeah, I can understand that. For when you grew up, how was, like, the job availability of jobs? Were there, like, some jobs that you couldn't have as a woman that, like, or anything like that?
Very true, very true. You know, like, I guess I managed somehow, you know. But also, when I started in the job market, it was during the Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, so I was able to get a job, even though it was a low paying job, and I was able to work my way up through the ranks. But jobs like the telephone company at the railroad, but not GE or any of those jobs, they were not easy to come by.
I'm not trying to be offended if I do, I'm sorry, but when you say they were lower paying, was it because you were a woman, or was it also because you're black?
Well...
Or was there a lot, or not as much racial issues in Roanoke as other places?
Of course it was. You know, like, I'm pretty sure I'm a light-skinned black woman, and I'm pretty sure that I could have walked and gone some anywhere in the United States, took off my black face, and did pretty well. So those opportunities were not here, you know, for black people. As a matter of fact, you know, somebody was just telling me just the other day, and I went to this gentleman's funeral, and I didn't know he was a social worker. And for years and years and years, he worked as an orderly at one of the institutions here, and they found out he had a four-year degree. And, you know, they didn't want to do that. You know, they just didn't want to do that. I feel that when you, people have to want to see a change. People have to want to make a difference. And, you know, like, and if you know, and there are a lot more hard-hearted people in the world now than it was when I was coming up, even though there were those barriers. So, you know, the our young people coming along don't know what they will have to face.
Going back to racial issues, were there any places in town that were, like, more white-oriented towards black-oriented, or any events like rallies that happened that during your time here?
There were some that, not necessarily that I witnessed, you know, but that I certainly heard about. When I was coming up, you know, like, we were able to, I remember when, like, the movie theaters and everything were integrated, and I remember having to go into the Roanoke Theater before that and have to go to in the back door and go up the steps and look at a picture. So I do remember those things. I don't think Roanoke was necessary. You know, like, there were people who will say that, and there were people working in those types of areas. And Reverend Dr. Wilkinson was one of the people, and I think Dr. Harry Penn was you know, in there and putting out. But I don't think that, I don't know how I want to say that, you know, because, you know, like, there were lots of things that were going on. They didn't always come out. Now, maybe that's the best way to say that. There were lots of things going on, you know. And you know, like, even, you know, like, I've read about them later, but I didn't know that they were going on at the time.
Do you think because Roanoke was a larger and more, like, modern compared to the cities and towns around here, that it wasn't as bad? Or, like, say, it's in Bedford County or other places?
I don't know if that's, you know, like Roanoke is sort of clannish, and I think that Roanoke has a tendency to hide stuff under the bushel, so to speak, you know, or sweep it up under the rug. I don't, you know, like, it wasn't like Prince Edward County, who closed their schools, you know. I think there were some people who probably made a difference in the way our schools were integrated, rather than, you know, so it didn't come into a full-blown war, that type of thing. But, you know, but I'm pretty sure the feelings were still up under, you know.
This is also kind of going back to something you mentioned earlier, that you used to have to ride the public bus to school.
I did.
Was that also segregated when you went to school? Was the bus also segregated, or could you, or not?
You know what? I didn't even pay any attention to that, because I was 6-7 years old when I was riding the bus to school. So, you know, like, and I put my whatever in my token, I think we were using at the time, and I'd go to Gilman School, and, you know, like, and sometimes sometimes when I didn't ride the bus, I would ride with Dr. Edie Downing's wife, who was the principal at the school at that time. So, you know, so, yeah.
All right. I really don't have any more questions. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about?
Anybody else have any questions? Okay. I don't think I do. You know, I really think, you know, that we've covered a lot of territory.
So that's fine. I mean, it's mainly whatever you felt like talking about. So
Right. Well, you know, basically, you know, like I had three children, and you know, like all of them are employed well, and they're lucky. They did not go to school. They did not have a wish to go to school, obviously, but they have gotten in trades. You know, like the mechanics, or my daughter works at an insurance company. So yeah.
Do you think it was better raising a family now, or do you think it would have been better to raise a family when you were younger?
In some areas, it's better to raise a family now, but in some other areas, it was better to raise a family then. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I feel like our people had a stronger moral base. And our moral base is eroding so very fast that, you know, like, I don't know, you know, in that regard. The other thing is that we could make it off of, you know, like, we learn how to make it off of a little bit. And you don't have to have a lot to make it, you know. But you have to have commitment, and that has to be, you know, the connection. You know, like, we had connections with our neighbors. We had connections with the people, with the teachers, and you know, like, so in that respect, that was a good thing.
Do you think people nowadays have less commitment to do things?
I do. I definitely do. Going, you know, like, when you see somebody going through something, going through means being there. And, you know, like, that doesn't mean that you're going to talk about it. That means that you're going to do something. And, you know, and being, you just don't have that kind of commitment. We don't have that kind of commitment in the churches. We don't have that kind of commitment in the schools. And you can see, look at all the cuts. And the schools that's the foundation. We don't have, you know, like, we don't have the parent involvement that we need to you know, to bring this together. You know, like, when I worked, you know, with parents, you know, like we talked about the real world and how to maybe make a change in that, and that's eroded.
You think people are more interested in themselves now than helping other people?
I think people are very selfish. I think our government has become so, so focused on, it's so big that, you know, that it's lost its focus. I don't think that that we have it together, and you know, like, because this country has a lot of problems, So yeah, you know, like, and you know, like, it's eroded over time, because if you've ever gone on a tour in New York, for instance. And you hear about Henry Hudson and his age when he did all the things that he did. You know, that's our foundation. That was it, you know. You could build on that. What we got is crumbling, and it's crumbling from the bottom up and from the top down. So, yeah.
Do you think there's still people that are trying to fix it, though?
I think people are still trying to fix it. And but we've fallen so far morally, you know, that decay is not going. I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Probably not, but at least I think that some people are people trying to do the right thing will eventually get what they want.
Right, but but you have to get together in order to do that. You know, if you pick it here, you pick it that, you don't get anything accomplished. You just wait. You're spinning your wheels. So, you know, that's the way I feel about it.
All right. Is there anything else?
No. I think this could be very, very deep.
All right, thank you very much. I guess that's it. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I'm fine. Okay. Have I answered all your questions then?
I think so.
Okay, good. That's
is there anything else we need to fill?